God bless you all this morning. You know, there's many things we could be doing, there's many places we could be, but our expectation is in the Lord this morning. It's not, Lord, be here, it's thank you, Lord, for being here. Amen. So we'll just bow our heads and pray this morning and talk to our Lord. Precious Jesus, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord. This world, Lord, that cries out for our attention, Lord, and for our time, Lord. But really, it's you, Lord, that deserves all our time, Lord. And Lord, our thought this morning, Lord, as we draw near unto you this morning, as we lift up your name in praise, Lord, and thanks, Lord, and as you feed us through your word, Lord, we just turn our eyes upon you this morning, Lord, and give you all the praise and glory, Lord, and say thank you for being here this morning with us, Lord, as we gather in your precious name, Lord. And we just pray a blessing upon those that might still be coming this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Should we sing number 22? I heard an old story.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he brought me with his redeeming blood.
Sing, this world is not my home.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up sweetly beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't see that home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't see that home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know
smiling. It's not just because I'm happy to see you, but it's because I believe it, you know, and it puts a smile on your face. You can't help it. Let's sing number 140, Redeemed.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Continually proud. Redeemed.
ever I am. Amen. Should we sing, We're Floating Down the Stream of Time?
We're floating down the stream of time, we'll have not long to stay. The stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Let us take courage, we're not left alone. The light must be astounding to gather the new moon. So cheer, my brother, cheer. Our loved ones we shall meet.
Let's sing In the City Where the Lamb is the Light, and then I'll ask Sister Diane if she would bring her song. I wasn't too sure. Is there any others this morning, other items? No? Okay. Should we start on the... Can we start here? Yep. Okay. I'll let you start.
Far beyond the starry sky, there's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. Mansion. and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where there cometh no night. Have a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the land is alive. Then that sunlight fades and twilight brings its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul apprise, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where there cometh no night. Have a mansion over there, when we're free from toil and care, I am going there, there is the land.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Diane.
This is rather a special song to me because I think you all know Kay Adams Reed, and she lost her husband after about 12 or 13 years marriage, and she sang this song afterwards, and it just always touched here that she could sing this after going through what she went through. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But when things change and you're down in the valley, don't lose faith, for you're never alone. The God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make it right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. But in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test. And the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll put them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day
Praise God. Thank you, Sister Diane. There was no other items this morning, was there? I'll just ask Brother Lee if he would come up and take the prayer request, if he didn't mind.
Lord bless you. You know, it's good to see you folks praising the Lord in song. We wanted Sister Leah to come along with the family, but we didn't know you were going to bring the orchestra with you. I see a saxophone, a bass, a couple of guitars, even a little boy that's going to come up well with them too, Brother Nico, following Brother Jackson. It's good to see. Amen. You know, when we get to glory, we're going to be praising our Lord consistently all the time without stop. And we can practice here. It may not be our tunes. I don't know how it'll be, but I know it'll be lovely. But it's good to participate in these things. And that's the other thing I was going to say too, is that don't be scared to invite people along. The reason I say that is because if you have enjoyed what you've heard this morning and other meetings and all that, why can't other people enjoy it? There's thousands of people in this city alone that if they would just let go and let God and just humble themselves and just come into service and participate, they would be uplifted and encouraged. That's what God wants. And it's good to hear you people participating, because there's a lot of people out there that could do with the same. Now, do we have any prayer requests at this time? Because we don't have any on the internet.
My brother Niall is in hospital in Taranaki. The doctors are unsure to go to London and do heaven.
Right. Jan's brother, Niall, for healing. And salvation, with about another 5,000 there in New Plymouth as well. Okay, do we have any others?
My sister-in-law, Faye, down in Blenheim, healing from cancer and salvation.
Okay, healing and salvation. Faye down there in Blenheim, it's Paul's sister. Anything else? Anyone else?
Greek man named Nick. Bad shingles.
Greek man named Nick. What's his need?
Shingles.
Oh, shingles. Yeah, they're not very pleasant. I've had some myself. Not currently, but... Right, do we have any unspoken prayer requests signified by a raised hand? Okay, Lord knows what you want. Now let's give it to him, because he says, bring all your needs and problems and give them to me. And often tell people, just leave your needs at the foot of the cross and let the Lord undertake. Precious Jesus, in your holy name we meet. We know that you're here, Lord. There's no doubt about that. You said you would be, and we know that you will be. You never let us down. You never leave us nor forsake us. It doesn't matter whether we're down the road, up the hill, in the valley, out at sea. You're there. And you know that we love you. Help us, Lord, to repent of our sins and our iniquities. And we say thank you, Lord, because you don't come to condemn us. You come to save us. And that is for sure. And Lord, when you come into our hearts and you've spoken to us, we can feel your presence and know that it's real. And we're very grateful for that. We just pray for the people that listen to us on the internet and the CD. probably in the northern hemisphere, well, definitely in the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere, those that are listening in a sitting room or in a car or on a telephone or wherever they might be, bless them, Lord. If they're reaching out for you, you will bless. Help us to expect you to answer, because you will. There's no one that prays to the Lord Jesus Christ without you hearing or without you answering. You do. It may not be the way we want it necessarily, but if it's God's way, it'll be the right way. We just pray at this time for Sister June Searle. Normally plays our organ, and she's over in, I think, Australia at this time. Left yesterday. May the Lord bless her and be with her in the trip. And when Howard goes and they meet there in Greece together, may they be blessed and be a testimony wherever they are. There's a Greek man, I understand, name is Nick, who has shingles, and we've been asked to pray for him. You are the healer, Lord Jesus. We know that's true. We pray for Joy Wall. I think she lives in Taupo, who is very sick. I haven't heard an update on her situation, but bless her, Lord. She loves you, and we love her too, and ask that you heal her. There's a Nile, I forget where it was now, that needs healing and salvation, and also Faye there in Blenheim, also for healing and salvation. Lord, we think of the unspoken prayer requests that are before you, and we want to be identified with compassion in our heart for people that are in need. There's a lot of people crying out for God, and they don't know where to come. Help us, Lord, to be a part of their life, to meet these people, and to give us words to say the love that's in our heart. May we share it with other people, because that's what you want us to do, Lord. Just bless these services this morning and one this afternoon, Lord, and undertake in it, and we look for the hand of the Lord on all our lives, not just in a group, but on us individually. May we be uplifted. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lee. Should we sing number 7 and I Only Believe I'm Thinking of the Rapture?
Bye.
and free for sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the same who will give orders to prepare the banquet when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear this invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Washed like snow and free from sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
Amen. Sing Burn, Burn and the Restoration.
Burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me, set my heart on fire, fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire.
Sing one more and then I'll ask Brother Howard to come. Sing Sweep Over My Soul.
Complete.
Praise the Lord. Sweep over my soul. That's what we want Him to do today, is to sweep over our souls. God bless you all. How's everyone feeling? Good? That's wonderful. And we just pray the Lord will speak to us this morning. That's what makes all the difference, you know, is when the Lord sweeps over our soul. You know, it's all about Him. Not about us. It's all about the Lord. Not about us. And I'm very conscious of these things that we spoke about a few weeks ago about the anointing breaks the yoke. Who remembers that?
Yes.
The anointing breaks the yoke. And what makes all the difference here today is not the preacher. It's not the music. It's not you. It's whether He comes down. That makes the difference. It's being in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Thus saith the Lord. Let me repeat it, some of you weren't listening. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Fullness, maximum. Isn't that wonderful? In that where? Not in this church. In the presence of the Lord. There's fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So as I said before, it just confirms what I just said a while ago. We just need God's presence to be here. And that makes all the difference in the world. So who wants His presence to be here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I pray that He will grant that to us and help us all to get closer to Him. Praise the Lord. And my wife left yesterday, and she's probably not quite at the United States yet, but she'll be landing sooner or later. And then she's going on to Heathrow, London. And then she goes on to Athens. And then she goes on to an island, another island. So just pray for Sister June. She has a desire to testify and to share with people wherever she goes. She's learning the Greek language, but I think she's going to fall back on English somehow because it's quite difficult. The man we met, Nick, yesterday, Nick and his wife, we know her. She's... Oh, what's her name, Nancy? Who?
Pat.
Pat and Nick, simple names. She's not Greek, but she used to go to the Baptist youth group, I think it was. Do you remember her, Barbara? And I think she went with Judith or something. But she's in that sort of age group, somewhere around there. And so we spoke to him, and he said, oh, what's the problem? He said, I got shingles, some arm. Do you like us to pray for you? Oh, thank you. So we prayed for him this morning. Who believes God's going to heal Nick?
Amen.
And just felt quite a good rapport with them both. And we're just hopeful that maybe one day they'll come to fellowship and find the Lord. Not join the church, find the Lord. We don't want people to join the church. You can't join it anyway. We're just brethren and that love the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just thank the Lord for Jackson and his brother, Nico. Thank you for your music. That's really good. Got a real gift there. We appreciate it. Who's glad to have good musicians? We're loaded here. You know, some churches I go to, they don't have anything or very little. It's very meager. So we want to be thankful. We've got Brother Pete here on the piano and organ, and my wife's not here at the moment, but she'll be praying for us, and we just pray the Lord will bless us. Well, I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Not forgetting Pauline and Diane. Don't let me belittle the strings department. And the tambourines even. Yeah, the percussion area. No, we do appreciate it. We've got these girls here coming up too. I'm sure they'll be playing soon. They're doing a lot of practice. And Dee Dee and... So, may we just read from Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. That's awful, isn't it? Just be careful. You don't criticize or judge people, because you're going to fall straight into that problem in a few weeks' time. Yeah, my father said to me years ago, you watch somebody always criticizing something, you'll actually find it in their life. So I thought that was pretty wise. And this is what the Bible says. You know, don't judge somebody because you do the same thing. Verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, that thou doest the same, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And I want to speak on that subject this morning. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Quite an amazing subject. I pray that the Lord will bless it to us this morning. Shall we just pray? Lord, I just come to you in your wonderful name, Lord, and we just call upon thee, precious one. Lord Jesus, we pray for thy sweet presence and anointing to be with us. Lord, for we need you to speak from thy word, because it's your word. And Lord, we don't want to put any of our own slant on it. We want the Holy Spirit to make it real to every person here. May you bless each one here, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Speak to us, Lord, and those listening out there on the internet this morning, wherever they are, whatever country they're in, I pray that you'll bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Sister, what's your name again, sis? Huh?
Toya.
Koya. Toya. Ah, good. Get my tongue around it. I'll listen up closer. God bless you. It's nice to have you with us. Anyone else here, new people, God bless you. Right, I want to speak about this subject. And it's a good thing to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Who knows that's a scripture? Amen. It's a good thing to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. That we are kept by the power of God and the goodness of God. This is becoming real, really real to me. You're not kept by your enthusiasm. You're not kept by your sincerity even. And those things are good. You're kept by the goodness of God and the power of God. You are kept by his goodness and power. And it's a wonderful that the Lord Jesus has opened the door for us to enter right into the holiest of holies. Now, the holiest of holies is not in Jerusalem. I've been to Jerusalem, and there's no holiest of holies there. You can go into the temple, there's hardly a temple. But in those days, they went through the curtain, which was called the veil, and that veil was a very huge curtain, very heavy curtain, and it was made out of, who knows? Huh? Badger skins. Poor little badgers. There's a lot of them. But they sewed them all together, made a big curtain. But that's a wonderful type in itself. God always hides behind skin. He hides behind the Lord Jesus Christ's skin. He was in him, the fullness of God in him. And he hides behind our skin as well. Who believes that? He's hiding, always held behind skin. So we know that the holiest of holies, where they went in, right into the inner room, where the word of God was and those things there, was the presence of Almighty God. It wasn't imagination. The flowers, well, no, they didn't have flowers in there. They had, well, they did actually. They had an almond. They had an almond rod that Aaron had. It budded and flowered and brought forth almonds. And you know what? They never went bad. They stayed on the tree. Why? The presence of God. What else did they have in there? They had the manna that they found on the ground when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. God gave them manna on the ground. They went and collected it. They put a pot of that in the holies of holies, and it never got worms in it. In Moses' day, they couldn't keep it more than a day, and then the worms started coming into it. God said, you've got to get a fresh experience every day. But in the presence of God, when they took that bowl of manna into the presence of God, behind those curtain of badger skins, where God dwelt in his power, that never went bad, and it was there for hundreds of years. Let's say praise the Lord. Now, brother and sister, all we need to do is get into that same presence and dwell in that presence, and you'll live forever and forever and forever. You receive eternal life in the presence of God. Hallelujah, somebody say. Hallelujah. It's good to praise him and to thank him for his goodness to us. I want to read you from here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, in regard to that. Paul speaking, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, that's the holiest of holies as well, it's another word in the Hebrew, into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that's that badger skin, but it's actually speaking about going into the presence of God, and having a high priest over the house of God, that's our Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Isn't that wonderful? It's nothing worse than having an evil conscience. We've got to get rid of that through the blood of Jesus. And our bodies washed with pure water. You know, we don't realize that the high priest, back in the Old Testament days, that big temple was talking about, they would go in behind that curtain. How many times? Once a year. That's the only time they could go into the presence of God. I tell you what, if I could just get into that presence, I wouldn't want to leave it. And we're going to experience that one day. We're going to go in one day. We're not coming out again. And the Lord's going to take us to glory. Praise be his wonderful name. Now, we can go in every day into the presence of God. I want to tell you that you all can go into the presence of God every day. There's no restrictions now, because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price. See, the high priest went in with the animal's blood in a bowl, and he took it and he sprinkled over the people, and he went in there and he made that atonement in the holiest of holies, and God accepted that as a sacrifice, and the people were forgiven. But then they go out again and they sin again. And they had to, you see, brother and sister, this was a very restricted entrance into the presence of God, to go into that temple and go through that curtain. The high priest only, of course. See, only the high priest could go in there. The people couldn't go in there. He went on behalf of the people. And so we see it's they could only go on once a year to do that. We could go on every day through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Enter into his courts through his precious blood. Now, once upon a time, If we went in there, back way back there, if anyone went back there, just walked into that temple, who knows what happened? Instant death. Wow. Not very good to have that in church, is it? They're going in because they were unclean. They hadn't made a sacrifice to go in behind the curtain. And it was death to go in behind the curtain. And I want to say this morning, it's death to you to stay out. We've got to get behind that curtain. And how do we go? Not with animals' blood, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith in what he has done for us. So he has made a way for us all through his wonderful goodness. Now there's only one way to get into Christ. There's only one way to get into Christ. It's not coming to our church or coming to the message of the hour. Those things are all good. No. So we need to go back to the original gospel sermon. The first gospel sermon was declared publicly to 3,000 souls or more on that day of Pentecost. And it was preached there under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Acts 2:36. Acts 2:36, we read, this is Peter speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, just being filled with the Spirit of God. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. Ooh, brother. You imagine that conviction that started hitting them. Whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God's made him both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, the Bible says. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We have crucified the Lord of glory. That's exactly what they've done. In Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, who I'm speaking to, he says, and to all your children, and to all that are far off, even as far as New Zealand, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we see that these 3,000 plus people were very desperate to know what to do. They have crucified the Lord of glory, as Peter said, and so are we guilty of crucifying him. You ever thought of that? You say, I wasn't there in Jerusalem. Yes, we have. We had him crucified because of our sin. And he took our sin upon his body, and he died for us in our place. So Apostle Peter's answer was very clear by the Holy Spirit. The first step we have to do was repent. Repent? What for? What do we repent for? To repent of our sins and repent of our terrible backslidings. We've got to come to God to repent. And some will say, well, I've been a Christian for years. I don't need to repent. Isn't it amazing how people get that in their mind? But you know, we backslide every day. And we need to repent every day of the things we have done, things we have hurt God on. Brother Brandon made this statement. But on backsliding, remember, you backslide every day. There's no way at all for you to keep out of it. But you're constantly falling. Paul's had to die every day, he said. Is that right? He had to die every day. Repent every day. And just constantly repenting all the time, see. And he says, if Paul had to do that, then I'm going to have to do it too. Aren't you? That's right. If you love the Lord, you repent, ask Him to forgive you. It's not that you're getting saved over again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about asking God's forgiveness and the things you've done yesterday or when whatever God brings on your heart and convicts you, you did something you should have done, you shouldn't have done, and you're putting it right with Him. You're not coming down and giving your heart to the Lord every day. I don't believe in that. But I do believe a Christian will repent. So when it comes to repentance, we need to understand we cannot repent whenever we feel like it. I wanted to really get this down to make it clear to you, brother and sister. We cannot repent whenever we feel like it. We cannot even come to God whenever we feel like we want to come to God. You cannot do it. And I'm going to back this with the Word of God too, so you'll know. You can't say, well, I'm going to come to God today. Oh, well, you may not. You can't say, well, I'm going to get repentant. I'm going to start repenting. You cannot. It's not possible. There's only one way, and that's by the goodness of God, that He leads you to repentance. So we see Jesus was very clear on the matter. He actually says in John 6:43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl. Boy or girl can come to God, can come to me, Jesus said, except, here it is, there is an exception that you can come to Him. The Father which hath sent me will draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, brother and sister, it's real simple. You can't even become a Christian unless God draws you. You can't come to the Lord unless He moves upon you. So we need to be very reverent and very, susceptible to the Spirit of God and knowing when He's calling you. Maybe God will call some of you this morning. And you've got to realize that it's by the grace of God that He calls you. So true, we can hear the best sermons there are. We can go to the best churches that are available. We can read our Bible and pray every day. We can do all these good things. But one thing is for sure. Unless God draws us to the Lord Jesus, we cannot even repent. That's thus saith the Word. I've just read it to you. It's by the goodness of God that He leadeth you to repentance. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father. Draw him. So what can we do? We have to pray and ask God for His goodness and grace to help us. It takes God and His wonderful goodness to lead us to repentance. You know, brother and sister, we say, oh, repentance, saying, I'm sorry. Oh, I'll tell you, it's way beyond I'm sorry. It's way beyond. Repentance is not just saying I'm sorry. Repentance also means to stop doing it. Not just saying, Lord, I'm sorry for doing that. You stop it. That's a part of repentance. It's a turning around. The Bible says you go this direction. Repentance is you turn around and go in the opposite direction to what you are doing. So we see, brother and sister, repentance is supernatural. It really is. Repentance is a supernatural experience. It's not an imaginary thing. Or the church does this, oh, I come to the front and give my heart to the Lord, they give me a card. You are now saved. Very nice, but I'll tell you what's more than that. It's not an imagination. It takes God to come on the scene on your life. If I could take you there, I would take you there. I cannot do it. There's only two people involved in repentance, is you and God. It will totally transform you. I remember when the Lord brought me to repentance. My first encounter with God was really amazing because I was a pretty good Baptist. Well, I say Baptist. I was a Baptist young person. It's about your age, brother, maybe a bit younger than you, actually. So I went to church and to Bible class and all that, and we sang about God, we talked about God, but you know what? I had never met him. You can know all about God, you can talk about God, you can sing about God, but have you met him? He is a living person. He is a reality. Amen. He's a supernatural God. And brother and sister, when you come into his presence, you won't be doubting about it. You know you've arrived. Amen. Let's say praise the Lord. And it's for every one of us. And if we ask God, and the good thing about it, it's God's desire that none should be lost. The Bible says he died for the sins of the world. God is wanting everybody in this city. I've seen people going along, trotting along, you know, here, and I'm not against exercise. I think it's great. But brother and sister, on a Sunday morning, they're not even going to the house of God. They don't even know God. They don't even know they are lost. And that's why they don't go looking for a Savior. But we see, I remember when I came into the presence of God for the first time. I've often said I can go and show you at my parents' home in 62 Abbott Street, big lounge there, and I could put a cross on the carpet where I met Jesus Christ. I remember what happened. When my mother and father prayed for our family, we all got in a room Sunday night, it was raining. Many years ago, probably over 50 now. And I remember when they came and prayed for me, I had no precepts of what was going to happen to me, whether I'll see a light or an angel or stars or whatever. I had nothing planned. But when my mother and father came, they laid hands on me, started to pray. I'll never forget it. I was completely shocked that this being existed. Been to church, going all the stories and everything, and heard about God, but never have you met him. Brother and sister, you've got to come into his presence. And when you come into presence, it's all over. It's all over. You're not saying, oh, I'm going to be a Christian from now. No, you've come into a new relationship, a new life. And I remember when he came in, the Lord came into us. And he came up to me. I didn't actually see him, but all I saw was, I don't even like saying what I saw, because people say, oh, I've got to see that too. No, all I can say, it was really bright. But that wasn't the thing that really impressed me. What impressed me was the absolute humility of the Lord. He was so humble and so loving, and I felt so unworthy. And as a kid of 14, I started to weep, and I don't do that, not with all my brothers and sisters there. And I started to weep, and I started to a real sob, because I felt so unworthy. The more unworthy I felt, the more he loved me. And the more he loved me, the more unworthy I felt. And I wept, and I cried, and I had a great evening of great privilege that I had walked into the presence of Almighty God. And brother and sister, you've got to come to that. This is a repentance. And I realize that he had taken all my sin at Calvary. He took them. When Jesus went to Calvary, as far as I'm concerned, he went for me. He went for my sins and for my backslidings and for my evil thoughts and all those horrible things I've had. He went for me. And that became a living reality, and I felt so unworthy, unworthy, so unworthy. You know the song? Brother and sister, these people write these songs. They have been there to be able to write that. You've got to know that you feel unworthy from the bottom of your soul. You feel so unworthy that he'd even stop and have a talk with you. That came by a supernatural power. That came by, wasn't my mum and dad's, that wasn't their power. It was God came down. And I said, I don't know what happened to all my brothers and sisters that were there, but I know what happened to me. So you can be in a meeting, God's spirit can be there, others can get really blessed and you don't feel anything. Because you're not, the spirit's not in a place, it's in a presence. That's the difference. And so when I really started to reach out to God, and I had many subsequent baptisms of the Holy Ghost. It was about three or four weeks later. It was in the same lounge room. We had a lot of meetings there, and Holy Spirit came upon me, and I was just a little Baptist kid, you know, and I started to speak in an unknown tongue, as fluent, pure language. It's never changed. It's always the same when the Lord comes on me. No one was there to tell me how to speak in tongues. None of that nonsense. When God comes upon you, He'll give you unknown tongues. Who believes this? You don't have to work it up. You don't have to imagine it. He takes control. And that's by the Spirit. It's supernatural. So when you repent of your sins, as Peter said, repent, and you're being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise is you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who believes it's for you? It's for you, brother and sister, and you've got a thirst for it. Jesus said, "He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness," interesting, "shall be filled." Isn't that amazing? If you want righteousness, we would say, if you're hungry and thirst after righteousness, we'll give it to you. No, Jesus didn't say that. He said you'll be filled. And the filling is the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's absolutely essential that God comes and lives in you. So that was my first encounter. Praise God, it wasn't the last. It just started to grow from one day to the next. Got greater and greater. I just really thank God for that, because I needed that. I need it right now. I need another dose right now. Who believes that? We need to be in His presence continuously. Not just once a year, as the high priest went in behind the curtain. I want to be in His presence on a daily basis to know, Lord, thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, that you're here. God, deal with me, lead me, show me what to do, because I don't know. I said to the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, I'm like Solomon. I don't know how to go in, and I don't know how to go out. You know, he just confessed how he felt. I don't know how to rule Israel. He said, will you help me, Lord? He says, I don't want all these things. I just want you. And God mightily blessed him, as we know. That mighty reassurance comes into your life of sins forgiven. You need to have the reassurance that your sins are forgiven, because the devil will come knocking. Say, you did that the other day. You did that. God's holding that against you. You know, the devil is a liar. Brother and sister, he is a father of lies. He cannot tell the truth if he had to. Just say what God said. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So it's got to be a reality to you. It's not, oh, I know where that verse is, brother. It's got to be more than where the verse is. It's got to be reality in your heart. The Word of God's got to be hiding in your heart. Praise the name of the Lord. You have to meet Him and feel that wonderful love around you. Know your sins have been forgiven. And as He enables you to repent by the Spirit of God upon your life, that is a great experience that we all must have. You know, people say, I gave my heart a Billy Graham crusade. And I'm not despising that at all, because I believe many were called. They go down, they get a decision card. I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Billy Graham Crusade. It's got to be more than a card. It's got to be something in your heart that's with you 24/7. You know that you belong to Him. It's God's goodness. It's God's goodness that He leads you to repentance. You know, brother and sister, I say it like this. If I have a sniff of the presence of God, I want to be there. You've got to go to it. Don't run away from it. Don't be distracted with other things. Say, Lord, I want it. If you feel God's Spirit moving in, say, Lord, yield to the Spirit. Yield to God. He said, the Bible says, if you draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto you. You've got to draw nigh unto God. You've got to be centered. You've got to have your focus on the Lord. Who wants the Lord to come into your life this morning? Who would like that? See, you've got to be focused. Not on me, not on the church. You've got to be focused. Lord, it's me. That's the need of prayer. Lord, it's me. I'm sick and tired of living a wishy-washy Christian life. I'm so lukewarm and so backslidden. Lord, I'm tired of it. Lord, I want a Holy Ghost repentance in the presence of God. Only God can bring that to you. I can't. If I would, I'd do it. I need it in my own life. I need to have it every day. Only God, it's by the goodness of God that He'll lead you to repentance. Some people have never repented. There may be people in the church who have never actually repented. They may have had a little cry sometimes. But actually repent by the Holy Ghost? Maybe not. But God's offering it to you. Isn't that wonderful? When you feel the Spirit of God leading you to repentance, you are blessed amongst millions. Brother and sister, if there's millions out there would give anything, as Brother Lee said, would have an opportunity. But God's passed by you. He's passed by you. He's giving you that opportunity. Now, you've got to mean business, not you and your husband. Not you and your wife. Not you and your friends or your workmates. It's all about you and God. Period. It's nothing to do with anyone else. He comes to the individual. Now, we need God. Going to church is wonderful. Being used of God's great, but that's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says gifts and callings are without repentance. God can give you a gift in your life and you never ever come to God. There's many gifted people out in the world, wonderful gifted people. But how many have really repented? God comes to you today in sweet, loving persuasion. Then you need to be serious with Him. You've got to be serious. You've got to be serious with Him and seize the opportunity you're given. No wonder there are many tears of thankfulness to God when one would be led to repentance. You know, isn't it amazing? People who repent, truly repent by the Spirit of God, they have all the tears running down their cheeks and they're the happiest people in the world. You know, because they know their sins are forgiven. Who's so happy their sins are forgiven? And our brother and sister, we've got to be sincere. I just don't think we're sincere enough. I think we've lost the plot a little. You know, I just heard a song last night, actually. They sang this song, and they sang it. The days when we used to be sincere. The days when we never used to do those things. It was really a revival song back in the tent meetings in America. And it was just really quite wonderful words. And I thought, Lord, that's the truth. We have slipped. We have slipped badly. We've become all religious and we know all about it, but we've lost the sincerity. When you get sincerity, you get humility in your life and the power of God will be in our midst. That's how we know God is here. So we need to be serious with him and to seize the opportunity. No wonder there are many tears. No wonder many people are very grateful when they get through to God. You don't have to go and tell them, I got through to God. It's all over your face. It's written all over you. I've been there. I was there. I was behind the curtain. I got behind the veil where God dwells. And He met me. Who wants to go there? You want to, don't you, Mari? You really want to? Will God grant that to you? You see, you've got a hunger for it. You've got to be thirsty for it. It's not just coming to church and doing all the good things, and they are fine. But brother and sister, we've got to really seek God, for the time is running out for this generation. Time is closing down. It really is. And we've been told about it. So we just thank Him that He's starting to lead us to repentance. And we cannot do this in our own strength. It's a great tragedy, is it? Many feel the Spirit of God moving on them. And they neglect such a great salvation. They feel the Spirit and say, oh, that's a nice feeling. That's a nice feel God's here. But you don't listen to what he's telling you. He's drawing you. He's trying to get you to come. To neglect such an opportunity as we said recently, many want to enter the kingdom of heaven and cannot, Jesus said. Most will not be able to enter. Jesus said so. Many will go through the wide gate that leads to destruction. Many. And very few will go through the narrow gate that leads to eternal life. Why? Is it because God doesn't want to let them in? No, they're not serious about it. They hear a sermon and say, oh, yeah, that's very nice. They're not serious. They don't get down and say, Lord, I want you to lead me to true repentance. And I don't want to neglect this any longer. We need to be sincere with God and come to him reverently. Not to come to him casually or neglectfully. We always must remember this. There is only one place we can do that. This is the only place that you can repent is right here. Not in this church, but here on earth. If when you pass over, it's too late. You can, it's over. The only opportunity you have is to, for God's Holy Spirit to come upon you and to have a true Holy Ghost repentance is here. When we cross over, it's finished then. We know that from the stories. You know, Abraham and the rich man. Not Abraham. Talking to Abraham. The rich man and the beggar. And that switched roles. There was the beggar. He was really in the presence of God rejoicing. And the rich man was in torment, in the flame. And he said to Abraham, send him down that he might put a drop of water on his finger and drop it on my tongue from this torment. That's what he cried for. He said, there's a great gulf fixed. A great gulf fixed between here and there. And no one can cross it. So it's all got to be done here. You've got to be serious with God. Mum's not going to be there. If you cross this afternoon, she won't be there. Or your father. Or the preacher. You've got to make right with God now. When God is calling you, that's the time you need to move. What a privilege to know these things. We are so blessed. So blessed to know these things. Always remember, now is the time. Now is the accepted hour. Because when we cross Jordan, it would be too late. Now is the accepted time. How we should thank him every day.
Amen.
Every day say, thank you, Lord, for coming to me. You know, people say, oh, the Lord doesn't come to me. He may have come to you last night. You didn't even know it. You didn't realize he was coming to you. You see, God doesn't just come down in absolute power. If he came down in power, you probably couldn't handle it, nor could I. But God comes gently. He gently calls you. Just feel that sweetness move in. That's the time to get on your knees. Not start playing with your phone. Get on your knees. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you're here. What is it you want me to do, Lord? He might cause you to repent then. He's trying to help us. He loves us. He wants us to be there. He's not against us. God's for us all the way. And we have to say, Lord, help me to yield to you. He'll lead us to repentance. If he did not lead us to Calvary, we would be lost in our sins today. Isn't that awful? But he has led us. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. The scriptures confirm this as well. We find it here in Ephesians chapter 2. How we need the Lord. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy. He's not lacking mercy for you. He wants to give it to you. But there's a little condition there that you must receive it. In faith. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins out in the world, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, not by your own merits. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. How? Through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. You don't earn gifts, you don't buy gifts. God has given it to you. It's nothing to do with you. You need God to lead you into repentance. Very clear, isn't it? Not of works. You'll be a good person. You could serve God day and night. That's nothing to do with your salvation. You serve God because you love him, not to get saved. You're saved by the blood of Jesus and repentance before God. And God's going to lead you to that place. God knew we could not save ourselves. And by his goodness and grace, he came down and he died for us. But not only that, by his goodness, he led us to accept it. Isn't that wonderful? That's the whole thing. You could not receive this repentance unless his goodness led us to it. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a wonderful scripture because I'd written this sermon and last night I felt I should put it into my sermon, this verse I'm going to read you. And this is how God works with me. My birthday tomorrow. My daughter in Adelaide sent me a card. And I just believe this is the Holy Ghost. Everybody listening, say amen.
Amen.
She sent me a card. It said some very nice things in scripture readings, and the very scripture you put in there was the scripture I felt to go and open my notes and put the scripture in, and then I opened her envelope and there was the scripture. Isn't that wonderful? That's God. Who believes that's God? And here is the scripture that I felt to put in the sermon and my daughter had sent to me, and it's this in Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you. It's God doing this work, not you. God worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, not your pleasure. His good pleasure. The Bible says we are his workmanship. God's working on us. He's drawing us to repentance. If he doesn't, we're history. Brothers and sisters, if God doesn't move in our life, we are finished. Who believes that? Say amen. But when he calls you by his Spirit, by the goodness of God, he leads you to repentance. So I'm so blessed. It is God which worketh in you. Now this took me a long time, brothers and sisters. I've been preaching over 40 years, and it's only in recent days I have got this revelation. It's God working in Howard Searle, not Howard Searle. God's doing it. And he brings repentance. And he changes me. And he helps me. And he strengthens me. And he heals me. Whatever I have need of, it's God working in me. Whew, I was so glad when I saw that. I haven't told my daughter yet. She's somewhere in the world. But I will tell her. So everybody has the same thinking faculties as we do. But God graciously comes down and takes the scales from our eyes that we may see what I'm talking about. Furthermore, when God starts his blessed work on us, this is wonderful. He does not give up halfway. Isn't that wonderful, Leah? God starts a work in you, he's going to finish it. For his glory, not for yours. For his glory in your life, in my life, in all of us. It's God's working him. Men may quit many times when doing a good thing, but not our Lord. He will not quit. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Who begun it? The Lord. It's the Lord's work in your life. It's not you. I'm going to come to God now. Nah, forget it. God has to draw you by Spirit. Jesus said, no man cometh to me except my Father draw him. So brothers and sisters, he says here, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's going to take you right through, Sister Jan, all the way. Isn't that wonderful? Now I'm going to read you in the Amplified Bible. It's really clear. This is what it says. I am convinced and sure of this thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return. Developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Hallelujah! Glory! No wonder we want to shout and sing that God has started a work in us, he's going to finish it in us, and he's going to present us blameless on that day. Oh, my, by the goodness of God. If God doesn't come your way, you're on a very dangerous line. So you need to get down on your knees and say, Lord, I want you to come upon me. Lead me to a real repentance, a real experience with you. If you haven't had one. Or even in now, it's telling not just things in the past, but maybe backslidings in our life. And God brings repentance and you turn around. It's a quitting of those things you're doing. You know, like that brother came to Brother Branham one day and he said, oh, Brother Branham, I've got a terrible problem. He said, what is it? He said, I can't stop lying. I keep lying all the time. I'm just terrible. I lie to everything. I lie in my business. I'm constantly telling lies. Oh, Brother Branham, would you wait on the Lord? He'll give you a vision. I'm sure he'll give you a vision. Show me what to do. What must I do, Lord? Would you ask the Lord to show me? He said, well, actually, just show me now. He said, really? What did he say to do about my lying? He said, just quit. Repentance brings action. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we continue in sin and have any part therein? When you're forgiven and you have a true repentance, those things go out the door. Who believes that? You ask somebody to forgive you and then you turn around and do it again right next day. Well, that's something wrong. So he wants to bring this completion. We are truly blessed people. So let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in the Lord. Open our mouths, giving him thanks for his goodness and leading us to repentance. Praise be to God. Do you love this? I love it with all my heart. Even if no one here to listen to me, I would love to just sing it. Because it's God's word. It's all to do what he's doing. Not what I'm doing, what you're doing, what the church is doing. It's what God's doing. And he's coming very soon. Amen. The coming of the Lord is at hand. And the Bible says, be ye therefore ready, for an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Shall we stand for prayer? With every head bowed and every heart too. Let's just ask the Lord for a few moments. Lord Jesus, we bow before thee this morning, Lord, and you know the things that have been said are true because you said it. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that you want to get us closer to you. You're not happy with what you have. Lord, it's just a half-pie confession of thee. Lord, we need to walk in that light. I just pray, Lord Jesus, you would help us all. Draw close to us. Lord Jesus, time is running out. We see the world in chaos. The church is getting colder and colder. But Lord, we want to be harder and harder with you. But we cannot do it of ourselves. We need your help. We need your intervention. We need the Holy Spirit to come. For it's by the goodness of God that he leadeth us to repentance. I just pray, Lord, you'll have your way amongst us. Lord, those things that you're speaking to us about this morning. Lord, may we be willing for you to deal with us while there's still grace, while the doors are open, Lord, while there's an opportunity. May we make good use of it, Lord. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Please help us, Lord. We commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' wonderful name for your glory. Amen. Just as I am without. Just come as you are. Just come as you are. Thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to me, O Lamb of God, I come. Dear brother Billy Graham has gone to receive his reward. Hundreds of thousands of people that came and heard him preach. He sang this very song. And some came, but many didn't come. It's too late now. You can't bring Billy Graham back. He can't save you anyway. No one can save you. Only the Lord Jesus. And if his Spirit's moving upon you, you need to move. This may be your last opportunity. These things are so serious, brother and sister. You say, oh, I've got to clean up my life. No, don't clean up your life. Just come to Jesus. He'll clean it up for you. Repent and be baptized. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's just sing this verse. Anyone who wants prayer, feel free to come. We'll pray for you. Just as I am and where. Thank you.
else God's calling. You know God's calling you. Don't let it go by. He may not come back again. The Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with me.
Sing 162, Mercy rewrote my life, and it did. If we didn't have that mercy, we couldn't be saved. Just sing it unto the Lord, who's the one that gave of his life's blood for us. Mercy rewrote my life. Done for us and what we need to do to qualify what he did. That's receiving what he said. Let's sing Flow Through Me, Holy Spirit, 118. Flow through me, flow through me. And let it be so. Flow. Jesus, it's exactly what we want, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to flow through us, Lord, and we must be ready to receive it, to know that little tug in our heart is pulling, that indecision that we haven't made yet, and we know that we should, that says that we're going to do it one day and we may never do it unless we do it now. For those that may be considering that what they should do and they don't want to do it just right now, as in this day, Just consider it. Let them think about it and do something about it tomorrow. Lord Jesus, you will see us through. We know all the mistakes we've made, but you don't come and you judge us. You come to save us. And you are letting us know where we stand and where we should be standing, where we could be standing. But it's all Jesus Christ that has done it all. Bless the people on the internet and on the CDs at their time of listening. Time might have gone by before they hear it, but it's still valid for them to do something about it. We love you, Lord, and we're so very grateful for what we have before us. Lord, just bless us at our lunch fellowship, Lord. Bless us the food that we're going to eat, Lord. Bless the hands that prepared it. And just be with us this afternoon on the afternoon service. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.